The scene is a young mining town in 1870 South Dakota. The show is HBO's acclaimed Western Deadwood, created by Emmy winner David Milch of NYPD Blue fame. Deadwood gives new meaning to the Wild West. It also turns an unflinching eye on America at its best and its worst. In its third season, black characters rarely seen in Westerns are central to the show. For more, NPR's Farai Chidea has sat down with Milch. He says many of Deadwood's characters are based on real people, but African-American blacksmith Hostetler was inspired by a man in William Faulkner's novel, Intruder in the Dust.
He was a character of such pride and such dignity. Whatever history said about his position as a black man, he was going to determine the terms upon which he would be taken. And I had always wanted to do more with a character like that. And Hostetler is such a character, and the very thing which allows him to live, which is his pride and his insistence on being treated as a man rather than as a black man, is the thing finally that kills him.
I will not be called a liar. I didn't live my life for that.
You're Steve. We're leaving. Talk stupid to our dust.
The tragic paradox, I think, for many African Americans is that doubleness, that because of the historical moment in which they find themselves, the things that they must do to affirm their humanity often end in costing them their lives.
Plans keep coming to the that their final sum is this. But for what brings income to him? Break what he can, what he can't. Set those parts against themselves to weaken.
Scoundrel!
So how do you develop the language for this show? Because one of the things that has been most talked about is the refinement of the cadence of the language and the absolute vulgarity of the words.
Yeah.
The F word gets thrown around, but the cadences are very Shakespearean. How did you come up with that mix?
Well, I just try and stay on the surface of things. And my experience and all the research that I did was that the language of that time in mining camps was profoundly and incessantly obscene. These were people who were living not even on the margins of society, but outside of the margins of society. And one way you can get through the day without having to do violence is by having recourse to a language which is soaked in violence. The other thing was that to the extent that people read, they read Shakespeare and they read the Romantics, the Romantic novelists or the Victorian novelists, and they read the Bible.
A couple things struck me from the show. One is when Hearst talks about the color. He's talking to his cook's son,
yeah,
who has just returned from Liberia, who is this ambitious, canny person, but I don't know whether he can go toe-to-toe with Hearst.
Gold confers power. Power comes to any man who has color.
Even if he's black.
That is our species' hope, that uniformly agreeing on its value, we organize to seek the color.
What inspired you to have money and commerce become almost a character in and of itself?
I had originally proposed this series to HBO as a series about Rome immediately after Christ's crucifixion. What interested me was how a symbol, in that instance it would have been the cross, came to organize human behavior. And symbols, to me, are significant as illusions agreed upon. There's nothing inherent in a cross that suggests the experience of Christ, any more than there is anything intrinsic in gold which speaks of value. What Hearst, in his sort of perverted messianic vision of what gold can accomplish is suggesting that to the extent we can agree upon the value of a symbol, we can trump any sort of prejudice, that a white might have for a black. To the extent that we can agree upon the meaning of this symbol, we can transcend that. Now, that, in fact, is errant nonsense, although it's a lovely thought. In the context of a relationship between Hearst, who is really an oppressive personality, and a young, aspiring African-American, it seemed to me it was a conversation shot through with ironies and ambiguities, and those are the kind of talks I like.
Yeah. I guess finally, David, take me back in time to a moment when you felt you were a writer for the first time and what being a writer means to you.
Well, I can answer the second part first. For me, being a writer is a bridge to the world, and without that bridge, I'd be lost. As to when I guess I first recognized that, my best friend was, we were both drunks, and he was killed in a car wreck, I think, when we were 16, and I felt such a tearing, such a disjunction between what I had thought or hoped the world was like and the world's reality, and I found that in writing about him and in about his family, and there was a kind of healing which was available, not by creating an alternative reality, but simply in testifying to life's complexity and sadness and its beauty, and whether or not we want to accept it, I guess that kind of has to be enough. And I was very lucky to find it. I had a lot of opportunities to go in a lot of other directions, and being able to pursue this one was a blessing.
Well, David Milch, thank you.
My pleasure.
That again was NPR's Farai Chidea speaking with David Milch, creator of HBO's Western Deadwood. To hear more of their conversation, go to our website at npr.org.